Had a little confrontation over the weekend with some people who, of course, they carry the title Jehovah Witnesses. And I try not to be ugly, I try not to be rude, but I try to be pacific and to the point because I believe that's the way it's supposed to be. And strong as they were in their approach, when they left, they were pretty well broken, and I picked up the spirits, and they had actually been converted over. So it was really something to see the thing that happened, because it was, the world says they come on mighty strong. But they were so tore up till they was trying to get in our boat before they left, and they realized theirs had a hole in it. Nevertheless, one of the middle-aged, very dignified person, he said, "Says one thing about it, said, when we leave here, said, we won't have to shake off the dust against you folks." they believe that. They believe if you don't agree with them, then they just shake the dust off. So they couldn't get me to agree with them, so they agreed with me. But anyway, we had a wonderful time in talking to them, and some of the brethren were there with us. I've got a lot of things happening all over the world. All over the world, a lot of things are happening. And we that are on this side of the hill, we don't know too much about the other side unless we go to visit. But when we do get over there, we see the need and the desperation, and it really moves us. It really, I've got a number of fellows here, our men and women alike, that were over there with us, and they saw what was really taking place over there, and it really moved them. There's Dwight, there's Randy, there's Brother Washington, there's just quite a number of you that was over there with us. And they're still calling for help, like the Macedonian cry, come and help us. And I think we've received out of Russia since we've been back, I think around 5 letters already that's come out of Russia. They're wanting our ministry, and they're wanting our fellowship. And even Gracie got a letter from Russia wanting her fellowship with a young girl there that got involved while we were over there. And then they were asking for our literature. They were pressing the issue that we get them all the literature that we can get them and Bibles. They said that our literature already had gone out to some people. And, of course, at this church, they said a couple of people had even come to church that hadn't really been able to get to the people yet as to concerning something for Christ as the salvation, but said our literature got a hold of them so that they are coming to church. Glad to have Brother Sister Taylor back up here. I believe that's Brother Sister Taylor. Raise your hand, brother. Yep, that's Brother Taylor. I can pretty well tell them they look about the same, you know, all the time, but some folks come with one hairdo and another hairdo, and some men dress in such quaint ways sometimes. And sometimes they got a beard, sometimes they got a mustache, sometimes they got long hair. I don't hardly know who they are sometimes. I just have to get them and run them back through the barber chair and get them straightened out, and then I tell you who they are. The Bible said that we're not to take up the ways of the heathens, you know, to practice the ways of the heathens. And a lot of people, they get heathenistic, and they choose the ways of the heathens. They get away from church a little bit, and it's hard to tell them as to their identity anymore. Well, we have a lot of people that come here as families we have down through the years. And, of course, in coming, some will stay a month, some will stay 2 years, some will stay 5 years, some will stay longer. And then they go their way. And, of course, the Lord, He has His way in everything. It's not always His will in the things that we choose to do. Not always His will. But it is always His way, in that He has His way in the good and the evil. Works all things after the counsel of His own will. So it is His way. The Bible said, can evil come to a city? And I'm not sent it, saith the Lord. It said, I rule in the affairs of men. I create the good, I create the evil. Have my way in both. So whatever comes, whatever goes, we have to remember that that's the Lord. A lot of times, you know, we get out of sorts as individuals. When if we would spend a little more time considering the fact that God has his way in everything, we could hold ourselves and save ourselves a lot of problems when it comes to gossiping, backbiting, things of the world, or getting upset because we've been hurt or something. But anyway, I want to say this, that we have people coming and going, and some of them goes to their own hurt. When they leave to their own hurt. And some of them leave as to a benefit for God in that they choose to affiliate with the brethren, but they have a work to do, and they come and we reason it out. Then there's some, as I've said to others, that the Lord must process them because of their disobedience and lack of conformity to his will and way. And before he lets the judgments come on them, he moves them out so that he can get them away from here. And then that from that time on, he starts letting the judgments of the Lord come upon them. And someday they may return, but after that he's put them through the fire. They think within their minds that they're doing it, that this is their reasoning, and they got the best of understanding, and they know what to do. But after it's all over, they look and say, my God, I've been a fool. But nevertheless, the Lord worked it out, and sometimes they are won back to God. They come back to God, and so I said, well, what do you mean to come back to God? I mean they're backslid when they leave. And then they come back to God. They don't know that they're backslid. In their minds, they're not backslid. But you've got to remember, any time that you are leaving something that is being done for God, any time you leave it or leave off with it, even if you sit here right on the campground and left off with it as to be in part, it wouldn't matter. You could fast and pray from now on, but you're still backslid. See, because you don't go to heaven by fasting and praying. How do you know that? The Jews fasted and prayed. God said, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. They said, well, why don't you take knowledge of it? You know, he didn't use those words, but said, away with that, he said. So I'm not interested in that. See, he's interested in one thing, that's his word. Faith in his word. If it had been of works for your salvation, Jesus would have never come and died to start with. He just let you fast and prayed your way on in. But see, he took care of all that. What he wants is obedience. The Bible said obedience is better than sacrifice, and to obey, to hearken, is better than the fat of rams. What he's interested in is when he says, hey, come away from that evil, that you come away from that evil. And he says, look, we're heading this way toward heaven. You walk with me, and you walk with him. See, he don't want you going on a 30-day fast or 40-day fast or 60-day fast or some of them 70-day fast. I think that heathen over here went on 90-day fast. I think they're one of the biggest heathens over there went on 90-day fast. But anyway, he isn't interested in that. Then, like the Jews saying, I'm 90 days, I'm 40 days, I'm 30 days, I'm 20 days. You know, I prayed all night long. More holy than thou, as to someone else. No, you didn't pray all night. But he just wants you to remember that all of you are like peas in a pod. There ain't one of you that he'd take the second look at. Remember, that includes the preacher. There ain't one of you, not a person that lives, that's going to live, that ever lived, that he'd take the second look at, except through grace, as to the blood of his son. He wouldn't spit on you. You're not fit to spit on. I'm not fit to spit on. He wouldn't have spit on Moses. Oh, somebody said, Moses the great? No, Moses the murderer. Let's give the Lord honor. First thing he done was murder somebody. Somebody said, but faithful Abraham, I know, he killed I don't know how many. Apparently when he went out to battle and took Lot's things back. Somebody said, well, I don't know about that. Well, if we don't know about that, we know that he married two women and was in adultery. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody says, adultery? Well, I think God gave him that wife. Well, it sounded like his wife gave it to him. She was the one that talked him into it. God didn't say nothing about it. And besides that, God told him he'd have to put her away. Of course, that was after the wife pouted and she couldn't have her way. You know, that sounds kind of like down to real old countryfied talking, countryfied living. But when you get right down to it, there ain't no specials with God. God did it all. He did it all. And if anybody feels any other way, then that's proof that you're backslid. Because the only way you're saved is by faith. So when you leave God's word and leave God's things and leave God's program, and you'll find that people don't do that until they lose their vision. They'll always lose their vision. I've told the brethren a lot of times when a person loses their fellowship and vision with the brethren, I say, you can be sure they'll be gone because they're backslid. They're gone. See, they don't have to leave to be backslid. They're already backslid because they've lost their vision. And the Bible said, without a vision, the people perish. How could a man perish if he wasn't backwards? God wouldn't let him perish if he was right. So then the loss of the vision is to go to hell. So I just said that to say this, that people come, and a lot of times people leave, and they take this outlook. It doesn't matter how long they stay here. They think, well, bless God, I was with Jesus before I came here. He didn't win me to God. I'm not one of his children. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But a lot of times their children are my children because I won them to God. And another thing is, a lot of times it's easy for me to accept the fact that they say, well, I'm not your child, because according to what I understand, they're not the child of God, period. They ain't never come to God. When they come here, even their attitude proves they never was with God to begin with. But it is true that some come here thinking that they're with the Lord Jesus, only to find out that all they had was a religious experience, and after they stay here a little while, they learn what real Christianity is and what real conversion is and really serving God. And many of them come and openly confess and say, Brother Pike, I was having strong delusions. I thought I had God, but I know now that all I was in was a ritualistic. And even though I was trying to serve God in the sense that we offered praise and all the things that people do, but I realize now, so far as really being a Christian and having the spirit of holiness and living holy, I didn't have it. So they go back as the child known by its doings, and they see their arrogance and their cursing, their drinking, their frolic, their unclean ways with their companion. And they go back and they see all the dirty, filthy things that they did in secret is what they thought and the way that they went. And the little things, you know, that they did out there that thought that God didn't know anything about and didn't feel bad because the rest of the congregation was doing it. And then they begin to compare it to what we teach and what we stand for here. As every thought into subjection, as having the spirit of holiness, as following after Christ, and being holy in body and spirit, and then they realize that they didn't have it. So I said that to say this, some of you are my children. Not all of you are my children, but some of you are my children. Some of you that are looking at me this morning here at Bethlehem, you're my children. Some of you are not. Some that are hearing my voice, they're my children, and some are not. And as Paul said, I seek to present you to God blameless. Paul wanted his children to be blameless. I seek to present you to God without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, blameless. Somebody says, well, does that mean that you're going to bring us to the place to where we never stumble? No, I'm going to bring you to a place by the help of God to where you're going to believe above all your stumbling that Jesus Christ is your righteousness. But he paid the price for you and bring you to a place to where you won't go around leaning on a broken staff to use it for crutches, we say, to alibi with us to say, you know, I couldn't help it. Bring you to a place to where you don't practice iniquity or you're not habitual in your practices. So then I'll bring you to where when you do have problems, it's a real genuine stumbling, that you actually did stumble and had no intention to do anything wrong. I've got people in the Carolinas. I appreciate our brother and sister coming down from the Carolinas. We've got a lot of respect for these folks. And they've been affiliated with a Baptist church, whereas I myself was converted in a little missionary Baptist. First experience in a Methodist church. But they've been baptized, or that is, they've accepted the name Jesus, to be baptized in the name of Jesus. I'm firmly convinced that unless you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin when you come to it, that you will not go into the kingdom of God. Somebody says, well, I praise the Lord, I believe in God, Brother Pike, I shout, I speak in tongues, I do all these kind of things. I know Balaam could see visions with his eyes open. Whatever he said came to pass, and that if he blessed it, blessed. If he cursed it, cursed. But the Bible said he loved the wages of unrighteousness. He wasn't right with God, and God had him killed. And he was so blind and so temperamental that he argued with a mule or an ass, which a person had to be past insane or insane. Maybe an insane person would argue with a donkey. I don't know. But anyway, you'd have to be insane to pass insanity for somebody to stand and argue with a mule. But I'm just saying that to let you know that all those experiences of fasting, praying, speaking in tongues, whatever you've done, it makes no difference. The Bible said they loved the salutations in the marketplace. They loved to be called of men rabbi. They were rabbis. They sat in the uppermost seat at the synagogues. They had long robes. They'd done all these kind of things, you know, whether it be long dresses or long robes. And yet they wasn't right with God. Jesus called them whited sepulchres, full of dead men's bones, hypocrites. Thou hypocrite, he said. So come to church, really, always doesn't make you a Christian. Sometimes it makes you a hypocrite. So when you know to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sin and you don't do it, then that means that you are an unbeliever. Somebody said, you mean speak in tongues and do all these things and be an unbeliever? Absolutely, you are an unbeliever. The scripture says, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For it is unto you and unto your children and to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. As many as be afar off. He said, repent every one of you. Peter with the keys to the kingdom that opened the door. Jesus said, I'm the door. Peter opened it. Said, you're the Christ. Took away the veil. It was rent in twain. As to the open door. Like those people yesterday, was it? Or whenever we talked to them. We got so far along and the man was trying to give me some kind of illustration. And he said, are you familiar with such and such a scripture? I said, yes, sir. Do you know such and such a scripture? I said, I know all of them. He said, he was trying to prove me wrong. And he said, now, you're talking about God giving all of his power to his son? I said, yeah, that's what he says. He said, now let me ask you a question. I said, all right. He said, what if you had a son? He said, would you give him everything that you had and keep nothing for yourself? I said, no. Not unless he and I were in business together and he was running my business and that was his business and my business. And I said, I let him have all of it. You know, the Bible said, son, all that I have is thine. And the Father said, or Jesus said, all that the Father's given me, I've given unto you. And it was the Son, the Father. I said, these three are not individuals as to separation. I said, they're one. And he looked at me kind of funny. I said, when those people approach to come to God, I said, I know that they come in Jesus' name. He said, the Son. I said, yes. I said, but the Bible said he come in his Father's name. I said, that makes all the difference. I said, nobody is going to the Father except by the Son. I said, but the thing is, the Son's not bothering anybody as to give himself the preeminence. I said, they're coming directly to the Father. His name is called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. I said, he said, I come in my Father's name. And I said, God said, I'll give you another name, son, which I believe has to do with the bride. A new name that nobody knows but you and whomsoever you get. So I said, when it's given to the Son, it's given to the Father. And I said, and when they come to the Father, they come in the Father's name. They just come by the way of the Son. And it's really God's business. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. So I said, Jesus was the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. I said, that is to say, in that God is a spirit, Jesus was the only God there is and the only one you're ever going to see. I said, you're not going to see three gods sitting on the throne up there. I said, you'll see Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. just like you did on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he said, Jesus, God. I said, yeah, he's God. And that just turned him for a loop. He never did get over that through the whole conversation. That tore him to pieces. I said in the Bible, said these three are one. Not agreeing as one, as water, blood, and spirit, but they are one. Well, anyway, that looks like we strayed a little bit off of our foundational thought there, but I just wanted to bring that out this morning to say this. But see, salvation, as I pointed out to him, is in none other name. He started talking about baptisms and all these other things. I said, that's not where salvation is. I said, baptism doesn't have nothing to do with it. I said, those other things don't have nothing to do with it. I said, the Bible said salvation is in the name. I said, the thing is, baptism is for the remission of sin. And I said, you're not just going to go around saying Jesus, Jesus, and be saved. In that the Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, the Bible says concerning Paul, Paul, repent of your sins and be baptized. Wash away your sins by calling on the name. It's when you go down into the grave, you're calling on the name and you're washing away your sin. That's a symbol. Jesus said, he that believeth. Somebody says, well, if a man believes, he'll be saved. That wasn't what the Bible said. Jesus, the Word, said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. I say again, a lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, what about the professional men, the president, all these people? They don't have time. The celebrities, the ones in the upper echelon, as we considered, as to the these great orators and the priest and the Catholic Pope and these dignified folks that don't have time to go down to a muddy river. Jesus settled all of that when he went down to the muddy river, and he settled it again when he told Naaman to go down to the river and dip in the mud. He was a celebrity. And he couldn't get rid of his leprosy, which was symbolic of sin, until he did go dip in the mud to have faith in what the prophet had told him. And Jesus went down there, and I say that I think it would take nothing less than a foolish man or woman to stand before God in the day of judgment as to their feeling of dignity and realize that the God of heaven was looking them right in the eye, and that God of heaven went down and felt men's infirmities, that lived like a man, died on the cross, suffered pain, and then went down to a muddy river to get baptized to be our example. And you stand there as to be some worm. He said, I'll help you, thy worm Jacob. And you stand there as a worm thinking that you're president or you're some kind of celebrity or some kind of somebody that doesn't have time for that. When the God of eternity that made you out of the dust, that could have spit in your face when he first made you, and you're standing there, and he went down and left you an example to be baptized in Jesus' name, and you talk about it's not necessary, or you think there's some people that they just can't get around to that. You know what? You're on your way to hell. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody said, well, I think I've found the way. The Bible said every man's ways is right in his own eyes. You found your own way. But it's very obvious that you're going to stand there looking at the way. He'll be right there on the throne. He said, I'm the way, and no man gets to the Father but by me, or goes to the Spirit except through this rent veil. And you're standing there face to face with the way, and the way was down at that muddy river in Jesus' name. You can't get past it. That's where the judgment stops you right there. See, you were saved by faith in the Word. If the Word said it, you've got to do it. All this other means nothing to God. You got to honor his word. And then if you want to fast and pray, that's wonderful. And you should fast and pray, because the Bible said even the minister should fast often. He should pray always. You should pray always without ceasing. So I feel like that we need to get lined up with God. We need to get straight with God. And we need to be baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Spirit. Whether we're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, it don't make any difference. If I was going to preach a sermon to the Pope, I'd say, Pope John, let me tell you what you need to do. I'd say, just like I told one of your priests that he needed to be baptized in Jesus' name and he had enough sense to do it, that's what you need to do. So, I don't say that in any way arrogantly or boastfully, but as a profound truth. Now, I say again that if you leave, and I said a number of months back, that there'd be some other families leaving. I said, you'll be surprised. One fellow made the statement. He just heard of a family leaving. He said, I can't believe that after all these many years. But it's so. And some others are going to do the same thing. See, being here doesn't mean that you have the Spirit of God. Coming to Christ does not mean that you have the Spirit of God. Coming to the altar doesn't mean it. I hope you don't mind me talking with you. And another thing is crying and weeping and praying and fasting, all these things, that doesn't mean that you have God. So that doesn't mean that you have God. Staying with Christ is what means that you have God. Staying with Christ, not with the church, but with Christ. And when you stay with Christ, you're going to stay with the Word. And when you stay with the Word, it doesn't matter where you go, that's what you're going to be, is the Word. That's like the Church of God, Assemblies, others. They have denominational creeds, but they also have some rules that are very good. And some of them is that they build a church over here and a church over yonder, a church everywhere that they can. And that way, if anybody of their people move, they just move from one church to another. You know, like a man just transferred from one job to another. He isn't always changing companies. And that's a lot of help to people. A lot of help. Should be that way. But it just depends on the doctrine they've got. But this thing of coming in, whether you're in the Church of God or the Pentecostal or Catholic Church or whatever, and then you go out and you're on your own and you do your own thing, you're going to hell. There ain't no doubt about it. You're going to hell. There's one way. That's faith in the Word of God. And I'm your minister. And I am obligated to tell you this, not because you're going to stay. There's a woman over to my right, sitting to my right. Already, they're considering leaving. I've been talking to my wife about it. Long before she considered leaving, I'd already considered it was going to leave. Just like the family that's leaving. I'd already told the brethren that it had already been a planned thing for a long time. Couldn't find the way to go. And it's not altogether leaving. It's trying to get away from something that they feel is a bondage. But I accept the responsibility very gladly. I thank God for it. And you find that when you leave off with something that seems to be a bondage to you, because you can't do like you want to, act like you want to, not just speaking of the church now, but because you've got other obligations. When you leave that, you go to leave that obligation, to your sorrow, you find out that that's what kept you from having a wreck. That's what kept you from losing some of your children when you would have lost them. That's what kept the wrath of God off of you, was the fact that you was willing, as I tell you many times here, to give to the hungry, the poor, to take the crippled, the naked, the needy into your house. And this is what turns the wrath of God away from you. But when we are cunning and foxy, and we're always, from the time that we get a responsibility, trying to get out from under it, it shows just how wretched we really are. See, just like you go out and you make a debt, and you commit yourself, and you buy something. It's a car, it's a house, it's whatever. And you're just literally carried away with it. But just as soon as time comes to pay on it, you want to dump it. You want to shift it. Or you want to keep the car, but you don't want to keep your responsibility. That's when you are wretched. When you go to the bank and you borrow money, and then you go off and you use the money and you get what you want, but you don't want to take care of your obligation, then are you wretched? Someone would say, I don't feel that I'm wretched because I've done that. Well, the Bible said the wicked borrow and don't pay back. So you're more than wretched, you're wicked. And the Bible said the wicked shall be turned into hell. So I was just using some light approach. So when we realize that we are people of responsibility, a man that won't provide for his wife and his children, he marries a wife, he brings little children into the world, and then he don't want to provide for them. He'd rather drink, he'd rather carouse around, he'd rather have the gullible desires of his flesh, he'd rather be lazy and shiftless. You know, God's opinion of him is that he's worse than an infidel. He can be as religious as he wants to be, God wouldn't spit on him. He considers an infidel with more integrity than that person. So I'm just giving you like the Bible. You know, we're saved by faith. This is what the Bible says. And this is what you have to believe to get to heaven. So when you go to shift your responsibility because you feel it's a bondage, you don't realize it, but you're getting rid of your blessings. As the little illustration I gave to you where the man cut off his cross when he got down to Jordan, it wouldn't quite make it over. You can keep doing away with your cross, keep doing away with your supposedly burdens and problems and responsibilities. But when you get down to Jordan, you're going to find out the cross was the bridge you needed to get over. And self-denial, you don't want to do that. And there's something about it that when you get loose, you think, my God, I feel a freedom. And you think, praise God. You're not praising God for freedom. That's the devil saying, I don't feel pressed no more. I don't feel a burden no more. I don't feel nobody expecting me to do anything. I don't feel anybody expecting me to do anything or any direction. I'm so free. And then after a while, you find you're really a prisoner of circumstances and bound to the web of this world, and that you're caught in the mire of this sinful way of mankind, and that spider of death closes in for the kill. And he's going to get you. He's going to get you. You say, get us because we leave Bethlehem? No. Brother, Sister Taylor don't live at Bethlehem. And I'm not telling him that the devil's going to get to him. I believe the man loves the Lord. The Bible said, let every man work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. And then there's other ways to look at it. You know, you are exposed to one kind of meal. And then you go back for a lesser thing, or you go on starvation, because that's really what you wind up doing. You finally get in your natural way of life so that you don't do nothing, no way. Go nowhere either. It's all just a little home thing with you. But you go to a lesser thing. People don't do that unless they're forced to. Poverty forces them to that. And that is spiritual poverty, as we would say in this case. And another thing, a lot of times they leave because they never did get a taste of the steak. They never did. The whole time they never get their eyes open. For the Bible said the wicked shall not see when good cometh. Though they're all around it, their eyes never come open. And like I said a little bit ago about the woman, I told my wife, I said, at first it was the man. I said, and the family wasn't living right. But God was giving them a chance. I said, but it's not the man now. I said, it's the woman. I said, and she's done got herself in bad shape. And now it's the woman and the man. I said, and God will put it in their heart to move. And sure enough, the other day something was said and somebody just pitched a fit. And they were in agreement with the reprobate mind. The same reprobate mind that I spoke of that had a hold of the individual. The other individual showed themselves and jumped up and down and went on and made the same statements to show that they're one in it. A lot of times, you know, you think problems is because of some certain individual. But like I tell my wife, it's not that way. A lot of times when it looks like the man, about 50% of it is the woman. And sometimes when it looks like the woman, about 50% of it is the man. But birds of a feather flock together. And two don't walk together lest they be agreed. And they might fight with each other like they're not agreed. And they might drink and vomit over, you know, the hall as to the gambling table, but nevertheless, when it comes right down to it, you'll find they're all in one mind. One might want to frolic this way, and another might want to frolic that way, or one want to go this way, and one want to go that way, and really what they're fighting about is not over the Word of God. They're fighting about which one's going to have their way. Children wants to watch television, and here on the campground they do that, and the parents let them, which proves that they're just as guilty as the children. Like a man told me one time, you know, he said, had his ungodly things on TV, a man told me one time, he said, I noticed the television, you know, that he'd got him and he'd always been without a television. I didn't try to say anything about it, but he felt under condemnation. And he said, well, I guess you notice I got a television. I said, yeah, I notice you do. He said, I got that from my son. I said, I just had to get that for that wretched son of mine. I said, you did? He was a man of long fasting and long prayers. I mean, that man prayed sometimes like all day long and fast many, many days. And a man of reputation as a preacher, supposed to have healings all around, and things really did happen. And I said, well, you know, that's between you and the Lord and the Son or whatever, is where I just passed it off. But I noticed that on different occasions, whether the son was there or not, he wanted to watch the ball game. And in his past life, he'd been a ball player. And he just wanted to watch the ball game. Not much, but just a little. Just enough to see it from beginning to end, as we say sometimes. So, he didn't see all of them, I don't guess. But he saw enough, you know, to do the job. And you know what? That's very sad, because he was a great, mighty man, and he fell to nothing. And even though he was still trying to preach and trying to go on and whatever, when the man died, I understand there was hardly anybody at his funeral. Even his daughter got indignant because there were so few people at his funeral. But he killed his testimony, he killed his life. When at one time, I suppose if he'd have left the scene of action, there'd have probably been so many people around. I know I myself, for one, would have been there if God would have let me. Whereas I didn't bother to go, you know. But if he'd have been going on with God like I one time noted. And a lot of people do that, you know. A lot of people do that. You might have one time been great with God, done things for God, but you've let your light go out. You've let your lamp get sooty. You need to wash it. And you've been turned over to a reprobate mind. Someone would say, well, what is a reprobate mind? A reprobate mind is after that you know the truth, and then you choose your own way to go. Lean to your own understanding. That's reprobate. See, before you know, that's a wrong mind is to reprobate mind. But you're not reprobate. See, because you haven't had a chance to exercise your senses to know right from wrong as Adam and Eve. See, but once you know right and wrong, you can't be cold. I tell you this over and over. Somebody says, I'm just not going to be religious. I'm going to be cold. No, you are not going to be cold. You cannot be cold when you know what to do. You're cold when you don't know what to do. And you're certainly not hot, as the Bible says you should be hot or cold. I'll spew you out of my mouth because you're vomit, lukewarm. You certainly can't be hot as to be fervent if you're not doing what you know, all of what you know. So then we're growing in the grace and knowledge. And as the Bible said, once you come to the knowledge of the truth, and then if you come to this knowledge of the truth, you turn and go your way. The Bible said there's no more sacrifice for sin. No more. That's it. All that's left for you is a looking forward to of the fearful indignation of God. The fiery indignation that will devour his adversaries. You become God's adversary, his enemy. And he's going to devour you. That goes for you boys, girls. That's old enough to know right and wrong. Jesus at 12 was about his father's business. Some of you was talking dirty the other day. Goes for you. You're talking filthy. That ain't your only filthy conversation. You're doing it undercover. You're watching filthy things and you're watching TV and mom and daddy knows it and they're letting you do it. And you're talking filthy and dirty and you're sucking on weeds and doing all kind of filthy things. And you're left to pull everybody else down and to suck coal with you. Because that's the way the devil does it. But when you get in hell, you'll be like the rich man that said, tell my brothers, don't come here. You won't want no company. Somebody said, I'll have plenty of company. You won't want no company. Someone would say, well, why? Because the Bible said they'll gnash on you with their teeth. It'd be bad enough to be in hell and fill the flames outside of having somebody gnash on you with their teeth. The less company you have, the better you like it. All right, folks, I'm just telling you that to make you to understand that we have people coming, we have people going. Sometimes some of those people, a family or two will come and one family will leave and the other family will be with us. Some of them out of the family will stay while the rest of the family goes, which some are elect. Say, well, the ones that stayed, that proves they're elect. No, not necessarily. But if they are elect, it's for sure they'll stay with it. I won't leave it. So, when you marry a wife, you don't go off and leave her. Somebody said, well, you go off sometimes and work all week and come back and off all week and come back. Not if you love her like you need to, you don't. You ain't going to do that either. I have had to go off sometimes, occasionally. While I was gone, my wife cried like a little baby, I found out. Now, I didn't do a whole lot of crying because I don't cry much, but I would have cried if I hadn't been ashamed before my buddy, you know. But anyway, if you love her, you'll stay with her. If you love her, you won't let her rule you. You won't let her put a ring in your nose or in your ears, and you won't be somebody that jumps every time she says jump and moves every time she moves. Because that's not love. That's bondage by a demon spirit. She's got a demon spirit, and you're her subject. You are the subject to that demon spirit. And any time that a man does that, he is in bondage to a demon spirit. He is married to a devil. And you won't do that. What you will do, you will regard what she says as in love and respect. And what your children say, especially as they grow older, and you realize that you can't holler at them like some kind of a dog. You realize that they're getting to be a grown woman or a grown man, and you're going to have to reason with them and talk with them in some senses. You know, you'll listen to what they've got to say as to their problems too, and reason with them. I think that's one of the most shocking experiences that parents have. They holler, they scream, get down, I'll beat your brains out, I'll slap you down, you little ignoramus, what, all these kind of things. And then all of a sudden they're looking eye to eye with a young lady or a young man, and they're saying, you devil, you, and then they stop. You know, when he spits in their face and says, no, I'm a man just like you're a man. Or she says, mama, I'm a woman just like you're a woman. And then the mother, she's shocked. And the daddy, he's shocked. But see, it isn't the child's fault because they got to be a woman or a man. It's the mother and daddy's fault because they didn't use enough understanding to slow down long enough to have good common sense to realize that that child was growing up, and now they're dealing with a woman and with a man and not a child. And they're going to have to talk to them different. But you know, this blessed God, I'll control mine. I'll knock them down. I'll make them do what I want to. I'll put them in the back room. They ain't going nowhere unless I say so. You've got a surprise coming. Let's give the Lord a hand. Them kids will climb the fence and they'll be gone. And you won't know where they're at, whether it's woman or boy, or that is man. And not only that, you won't just have some trouble, but let me tell you something. When one of them goes, every last one of them will follow. I don't care what age they are then. Once one of them makes a break, every one of them will follow. And I'll tell you something else. You can beat them with a belt until you wear the belt out. It won't stop them. I've known them to be beat until the belt would break half in two. That it was gone just as quick as it got through with the belt lashing. Just like, as a matter of fact, it comes to my mind now. We got a family here. This might shock the little lady, but if I don't say no more, they won't know who it is, so she don't have to feel embarrassed. But as a matter of fact, she wanted to do something. It's come to my mind a number of times. Somebody's told me more than once. She wanted to do something, and of course the parents wouldn't let her do it. So she done it anyway. After she done it, she got a real good tanning from the daddy or the head of the house. When she got through, she went and boasted to the others, said, my, that's all there is to it. I'll go back and do it again, so I'll do the other things. Let's give the Lord in. I said, that's Bethlehemites. So you haven't got them where you think you got them. Somebody said, well, nobody don't know what you're talking about. The little lady knows. She knows. I know her, and she knows too. So I'm just saying that to say that when you do your own thing instead of God's thing, then you reap your own reward, which is a reward of iniquity rather than God's reward. And falling headlong, the Bible said he burst asunder and his bowels gushed out as to his reward of iniquity, and he went to his place. So, there's one thing that you need to do. When you leave here, and some of you will, when you leave, this place is like a college. They come and go. You know, they get indoctrinated and like want it. He left and he said, somebody said, are you leaving? He said, yeah. So, but you ought to stay. He said, I'm moving to higher planes. So the last time I heard, he was dipping snuff. Let's give the Lord a hand. So he found his higher plane. I feel that was the devil said, I'm looking for that dip. It's on a higher plane than this one. So I said that again to say this, not to mock, but to be serious with you and let you know just how life really is. When you leave, if you're my children, you'll go somewhere. You'll leave because you have to leave. Yeah, you won't leave under any other circumstances. But whatever your have to is, you know, I don't know how valid it would be in the sight of God, but you'll have a have to have to. You'll have to have a have to. And when you get your have to all lined up as to whatever it is, and you leave, If you really genuinely are my child, as to God, considering it valid, or if that is you're the child of God, then you'll find a place of worship. Somebody that's a good Christian, you'll get back in church, and you won't go off and sigh of relief and say, "My, got out of bondage." You'll be right back with another fellow and another congregation and another expectation of righteousness and going on with God. But at least you'll find a place to worship God. And this is the thing that we must remember. These things we must remember. See, we must go on with God. We must be holy. We must be godly. We must be pure. And wearing the long dresses don't mean you're a lady. That don't mean you're a lady. Many a harlot's dressed in a long dress all of her life. That don't mean that you are a lady. Coming around being smooth and all this kind of thing don't mean you're a gentleman. It's whether or not you're clean and holy and godly in your heart as to what you really are. I've tried to tell you the right thing from my heart. It's like I've told some of the boys that's out yonder that won't live for God. I said, you come in here and you marry my girls. You take them off. A lot of them's my daughters in the Lord. Some of them ain't. Some of them just waiting for somebody to get them so they can have an excuse to get out there and be in the world and then try to come back here. Won't live right, but be in and out and just be a hypocrite. But I said, you come in here and you get my girls and you marry them, you take them off out there, and you subject them to the things of the world, I said, God will kill you. He'll get you someday. Something will happen to you someday. Something bad will happen to you someday. You said, well, you don't know that it will. I know that it will because I'm praying that it will. Let's give a little hand. When you do my people like that, I'm praying that it will. So you can be sure it will. I said, you mean you pray that God will kill them folks? No, I'm praying that God will convert them folks if there's any hope. If not, he'll get the vomit off the table. I don't like to eat on a table with vomit. So, I say those things just to say this. Whether young or old, you're still my children, man and woman alike. And some of you are going to run into problems. I'm just telling you ahead to help you, not me. God will take care of my part of it. But you're going to run into problems. Because as I said to somebody a few weeks ago, I said, I saw a certain man wanting to shoot me. I said, he went and got his gun. I went for his gun. He wanted to shoot me. I said, because his daughter left home. I said, when she left home, she came to me and Betty. And I said, there was nothing degraded. The girl was clean. There was nothing ugly or bitter. She was smiling in the vision. There was nothing wrong. Not one person, not I nor my wife, nor one brother or one sister or one boy or girl, in the vision, he showed it clearly. Not one had influenced him. Not one. She did it on her own. She'd already planned it and had saved her a little bit of money. She didn't have it, just a little bit of money. But she saved it. And she left. And she left that quick. Because the daddy wanted to blame me. You know, find the minister, kill the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered. That's what it's all about. Like I had the vision here a long time back. I said, I saw somebody just going on, follow me. As far as I know, they're just going on about my children, going on about my children, going on about my wife, going on about me. I said, and all of a sudden I looked and something had hit them and tore their mouth clear out. It tore it clear out. The Bible said the unruly tongue shall be rooted out. And like somebody else that came to me, a man, his wife is sitting here now, I don't see him, but he told me, he said, my wife runs her mouth, said she won't stop running. I'm talking about Bethlehemites now. Said she won't stop running her mouth. Said she talks about your children, Brother Pike, your family, all the time. And said, I told her, said, woman, you better stop this. Said she won't do it. Said, and she's almost got hurt a number of times. And said, one trip we were going into Tennessee. And said she was just running her mouth continually. And said, while she was going, all of a sudden something pulled out in front of her, us, and said, it'd like to have been the end of the trail. Said it would have tore us all to pieces. Said it scared her so bad. Said she stopped running her mouth. Yeah, that's bad, isn't it? I'm sure she may be running it again now. Because if you're scared out of something, you know you'll get right back into it. It's got to be a conviction of heart. But that's sad, isn't it? That God's got to tear you up before you can be a reasonable person. Before you can get the old jealousy out, the old backbiting out, the old haughtiness out, the old contrariness out. The old fault-finding spirit. The old half-hearted thing of going to church or serving God or being a Christian. Something bad has to happen to you. And folks, I'm telling you, it starts happening to you from the time, not as to any certain age, but from the time that you become one that understands and knows. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. And the soul that sinneth shall surely die. So, this is the world. Some, on the other hand, as I say, are leeches. Their number one name is leech. They leech from the time you know them until the time they depart. Thank God for some, at least. They might be wretched otherwise, but they're man enough to take care of the family. At least that's a credit. I used to tell one of my son-in-laws that I didn't agree with, still don't agree with. I said, there's one thing I can say about you when it comes to making a living. You're a real man. You take care of your family, and that's the truth. Even though having been wretched in a lot of other ways. But they're leeches. They'll never stop leeching. I don't mean for a dollar. I'm talking about not $10, hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars. I tell you again, it's shocking to you perhaps to know, but I have people that ask me for thousands of dollars. And sometimes I could speculate in the realm of several thousand dollars and they'd feel insulted. You know? And if I don't cater to it, I'm a wretch. And I'm a wretch that represents a bunch of wretches. Because as far as they're concerned, them people ain't got nothing, never did have nothing. They did it to give them that $10,000. And folks, they don't come over and say, look, I'm in a tight. Is there any way you can help me or whatever? They say, and we want, is it 100, 200, 500, 600? And this is the way it's got to be. I hope you can get it to me by tomorrow if you can't give it to me now. And this is their attitude. Bold. Leeching. It don't matter if they got one in the family working, two in the family working, three in the family working. It doesn't matter how many. I happen to come that there'll be two or more in the family working and working regular and working right, then they still want to leech and take the money. Somebody said, well, what do you think about it? I think they're going to hell. All of them's going to hell. How else could they do anything else but go to hell? When you take blood money and you leech, you're going to hell. You haven't got anything. You may go to church. You may move into the community. But that don't mean you've got anything. Whereas I believe, as Brother Taylor says, I go out of my way to give. I go out of my way to find somebody to give to. You might not think this, you might not believe it, it's okay, I love you, and this is the same. But I look for people to give to. I search for people because it is my life and the thrill of my heart. But here's the thing. I feel that a body of people should do something. If you have a problem, I feel that they should do something for the one that's in need. Not because your son-in-law got drunk, has been drunk for the last 10 years, and he's going to have to go to the doctor, the hospital, you know, and you feel like the church ought to pay his hospital bill, as we've had some of these things. Or because he's done something wretched down here, you know, and it's going to cost him $5,000, and you feel like the church ought to take care of it when they warned him for 5 long years not to do the dirty, low-down things he was doing. And you're all upset and out of sorts. This is what we deal with. But I'm talking about somebody that has a problem. I saw somebody make a mistake a few days ago. I told the brethren, I said, this is wrong. I said, they should never have done that. That's wrong. And I went to the individual and told them. And I told them why they were doing it. And it was wrong. And it was to reproach the church and with somebody that had already made some remarks about the church when these people could have given a testimony. They didn't do it. They were going to pull an underhanded deal and leave the man holding the bag. And God met him face to face. And I told him. Because that's wrong. That's wrong. When you make an obligation, you're supposed to pay it. Somebody said, well, bless God, that's just because you don't. No, it ain't that at all. I think we just put, what was it, Frank, about $6,000 or $7,000 in the bank. We still, is it, Sister Linda, about another $9,000? Betty, didn't you say $9,000? Still need $9,500 just to drop on the way out. So it ain't that. Somebody said, well, maybe that's the reason you're on your way out. No, I'll be coming back, the good Lord's will. I'll be coming back. Like MacArthur said, I'll be back. Oh, somebody said you won't. Oh, yes, I will. So then, I try to have everything up to par when I leave. And right now, it is. Everything's in excellent shape. I just finished taking care of the other things down there a little bit ago. See, but I'm just saying that to say this. You got $1,000, you got $5,000, you got $10,000, and you think you got a problem. $10,000 ain't no nothing to a working man. And if you're a lazy man, you may have a problem. But a working man, $10,000 ain't nothing. Somebody says, $10,000, Brother Pike? Some of you done bought homes down here. Camp ran out. You got $80,000, $90,000 trailers down there. It must not be that much. I think Brother Tillman just bought him one $76,000. He might have got his a little cheaper. It was about $60,000 or something. About $60,000. Somebody said, well, ooh, I thought these Bethlehemites was poor. No, they're not poor. I ain't never seen no people of God that was poor. I never have. Even out on the fields, out in the jungles, and out into Africa and different people, I find out that a man will live in a community and the people can't get bread and he's a Christian and he'll have surplus. Don't run from them. Don't be a cheat, a lie, a swindler. Borrow and not pay back. Cheat people out of everything they got. Pull little shenanigans and deals to where you know you're going to come out on the good end of it. I told you of a man that I knew. He always come out on the good end of the deal. He was a Pentecostal preacher. And he was always boasting to me how that he traded this and he'd trade a gun, he'd come out on the good end of the deal. And I thought, well, I don't think you ought to do that. You know, I still feel you ought to do it. I feel it's better if you take the losing end of the deal and have favor with God. I was doing something with a man the other day, and he was trying to get the best out of the deal. And when he got through, he was kind of shocked. I said, well, that'll be all right. I said, always just try to take the losing end of the deal anyway, so I'll have favor with God. And he just about knocked him over. But the thing is, this man always got the good end of the deal, but it wasn't long before his son, young, fine-looking fella, I guess he must have been, I don't know, 18, 19, I don't know, somewhere along the way, the gun, his life was gone like that. So he didn't get the good end of the deal. I know another man, he got the good end of the deal, seemingly. Always got the good end of the deal. The Bible said, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. He had a pawn shop. He was always lifting things off of people, taking advantage. Poor people, you know, I used to have a watch when I first started out. Years ago to make a living, Sister Betty knows I had that thing in the pawn shop so many times, so hard to tell who owned it. They'd have it and I'd have it. But anyway, I mean, it went again and again and again. It just kind of come to my mind because somebody has just come to me. I can't get it to register. Who was it? The last day or two, they'd got their watch out of pawn. I just thought of it, but I would not say it. Anyway, it might be embarrassing. You think the worst of me anyway, some of you, so it's not embarrassing to me. Some of you think good of me, that's good. I'm glad I got somebody. The Bible said, woe unto that man that everybody speaks well of. But I again just said that to say this, folks. There's a right way, as the song says, and there's a wrong way. And I want to go the right way. I want to do the right thing. I want to be a man. I want to make a living. If it takes pawning my watch, if I had a watch, I'd rather do that. And try to show some manhood. But I want to try to provide for you. I want to provide for you spiritually. Not just naturally. I want to provide spiritually. But I do these things around us at the campground to try to provide for you naturally. And I'm kind of trying to hurry along here. All right. I don't want to keep you too long. But I do these things to try to provide for you. But remember, when you do wrong, you have to reap of that wrong. And I'm telling you, getting back to the main theme of our thought, I've seen some people where their children are leaving home, Bethlehemites. The children are leaving home. You made a joke out of mine. You said all kinds of things. And you've been through all kinds of problems for it. And some of you are still saying things. And you're still going to say things. You can't get away from it. It isn't just saying things about my child. You're taken with a gossiping devil, and you can't get away from it. You know you can't. You can't wait. You're the kind of person that you hear something, you can't wait till you can tell somebody. Or you listen to see if you can hear something new so that you can go and turn your mouth on like a faucet. The Bible said there's some mouths that ought to be stopped going about subverting whole households, speaking lies and hypocrisy and all these things. But you got some children, they're going to leave home. And you got some bad days coming. Because when a child leaves home, it's going to be bad. It's like the woman I spoke of a while ago. How many times has she tried to convince me and my wife of the wretchedness of her husband? When I look beyond that into one look, and her wretchedness was that she was lusting after men and was wanting to get married again. And she'd lost desire for her husband. And she wanted to put him in the garbage, as we say. Let's give the Lord a hand. I'm telling you like it is. Somebody says, but I thought I had you convinced, Brother Pike. But you didn't. You didn't. You didn't have me convinced at all. I just listened to what you had to say, hoping that somewhere you'd get converted and be saved. Well, anyway, we could go on with this. I'd have to find a place to stop here. It's very obvious, folks, that just talking to you as a father with children, that you need to do something. You need to get your life straightened out. You can't do the things of the world and be a Christian. You can't guzzle beer, crack jokes, be filthy and dirty in your mind, party, and go to heaven. You can't do it. I know that you've convinced yourself that you can. I told of a man the other day, he came to talk with me. Talked with me up here in tears. Must have been for hours. I talked with him numbers of times. He's had all kinds of problems. Been in prison and whatever. If he'd have listened at me, he would have went there. But he sat there and bawled. Was trying to tell me of his love for the Lord and his love for me and the love for the people. And drinking, won't stop drinking. I don't care what you tell him. And he's done got himself to a reprobate mind to the extent that he feels like it's like a chronic ailment. You know, like God understands. Like if a man's got cancer, God wouldn't put him in hell because he's got cancer. And he didn't say this, but this is what I perceive. And so then he drinks and he can't help it. He's been doing it all of his life. You know, and he drinks and he cries and sets in tears, you know. But when he gets through, he feels like everything's fine. It's going to be all right. God loves me, I'm his, and he's mine, and he loves me, and everything's going to be all right. I just keep on drinking. But folks, he's going to go to hell. To his shock and amazement, he's going to go to hell. It isn't going to be all right. He's going to do like Esau. He'll be crying his way right into the flames of hell. So, you can't do wrong and get by. You can do wrong, but you can't do wrong and get by. God's eyes are throughout the earth beholding the good and the evil, and he's rewarding every man according to his works, for the child is known according to his doings. So then, these little shenanigans, as the world calls it, that you pull, you're not going to get by with it. You think you are, and right now, you feel that you're in a high place. You know that you're religious and ain't nothing happened to you. But remember, if you go so long without chastisement, then you are a bastard. If you do wrong and you don't get chastised, it's for sure that you are, as Jesus said, twofold more a child of hell. You're going to hell. Just as sure as you get by without sickness, without chastisement, or get by without some kind of poverty, some kind of ailment, some kind of something happening to you, when you got on the devil's territory, you can be sure that you're going to hell. Because every son that cometh to him, he scourges him. Some said, well, I just live a little better. No, he said, everyone. It doesn't matter how good you live. Jesus lived perfect. He went by the whipping post and was scourged to be our example. To let you know that no flesh is going to be justified in the sight of God. He's our example. It's all by grace. He lived perfect, kept the law, fasted, prayed. All night long he prayed. He fasted for many days. God didn't accept any of it as to one thing, and that was God's own righteousness. Son, you're my righteousness. I accept you in my righteousness, and that's what it is. Someone said, well, why did he do all those other things, Brother Pike? Wasn't that to find favor with God to get righteous? How could a son of a king leave to come over to a pauper's house and visit for 5 hours and go back and not be the son of the king? Or during the 5 hours that he was visiting, then he's not the son of the king. That wouldn't make any kind of sense at all. Jesus came from heaven. He was holy, godly, pure. He didn't have to fast. He didn't have to pray. He didn't have to do nothing. He was God to start. He was of a virgin birth. He wasn't even born of your blood and your sin. Why then did he do those things? For my sake and your sake. It was my body that was wretched. It was my body that was lost. It was my body that had to be redeemed. And I couldn't make the grave. So he did it. And that was George Pike who was living all that time. Fasting and praying and doing all those wonderful things. For as he became my sin, I became his righteousness. And so in his righteousness, that was me doing it all the time. So he did that for me, that I might have a way in. And I thank God for it. I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God, Paul said, and confuse it with the work of the law, Peter. I'm not going to do that. If righteousness come by works, then Jesus Christ died in vain. It's by the grace of God. I've accepted it that way. I'm born of his grace. And I'm going on with him, and I'm going to do the things that grace calls for, and I'm going to make it into the kingdom of God strictly by the grace of God. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, that sure makes me feel better because I've been a wretch, I've lived like the devil, and I'm planning to continue to do that. You won't add that last part, but I'll add it. Going to do the same thing, but I'm counting on that grace. Grace isn't given to devils only through the dispensation that the devil that's saying that is living in right now. That is to say, you as a devil, you're living in all the grace you'll ever get. Like somebody the other day, I told him, I said, you've conned, you've cheated, you've lied. I said, you've swindled. I said, you've went from place to place conning, even preachers. I said, and you've lied against me and lied on the brethren. I said, and the bad part is, I never told you this or reproved you like this. I said, but the thing that makes it so bad and the reason I am reproving you because you don't plan to do no different. I said, you're going right back to the old way of life. And then I turned to another. I said, and you, sly and cunning, as you would say, like a fox or whatever the terms I use. I said, and pulling the little shenanigans you're pulling, doing things undercover, I said, and reproaching God, the church, the brethren, and going on your evil way and getting mixed up in the thing as to a racial thing that you've got mixed up with, thinking that you're straight. I said, you're not straight. And I said, you think you have a ministry? I said, you don't have a ministry. I said, you don't even have eternal life. Let's give the Lord a... Somebody said, tell it like it is. Preachers don't like to do that. Unless it's the act of God, like a prophet said concerning a king. So I wouldn't even speak to you if it wasn't for this other king that reverenced God. So then, I'm just telling you that you're on the wrong trail. So let me give you some advice. The little sister that I saw leave, you pray. Whatever you do, you pray. You talk to God. You come to an age, brothers and sisters, that is to the little brothers and sisters, to where you are considered a woman and a man. And can't nobody stop you, not even daddy and mother. They'll threaten, they'll say, I'll knock your brains out, I'll slap you down, you ain't going to do that. I'm a different daddy, you'll see. When you get through with it, he won't mount to a hill of beans. Won't mount to a hill of beans. And not only that, but some of them that I personally have known the cases of, when you get through and you say, I'll stop you, bless God, and you pull off the belt, they said, I'll call the police. I'm a woman of my own. I'm a man of my own. So I said, well, they can't do it. Oh, yes, they can. Well, the police won't do anything. Oh, yes, they will. They'll do exactly what they're supposed to do. They'll make you stand and your daughter or your son, and they'll stand right there, and they'll walk off, and you can't touch him unless you kill the police and have a fight with the police. And either way, there'll be other police, or either he will escort you down to the prison, and you'll spend your time in prison, and Sissy and brother will go where they want to and do what they want to, and you can't do nothing. So you might as well to grow up, realize it, that we're in a world. Somebody said, well, bless God, I don't believe God meant it like that. In the first place, you don't have any business bringing God to your rescue because you're not right with God to begin with. If you'd have been right with God to begin with, it would have worked out that way. You'd have worked it another way. You'd have had some kind of understanding. The Bible said, separate yourself from unreasonable people, and some daddies and mothers are unreasonable. All they care about is what they want to do, where they want to go, what they want to say. But the thing is, they're going to leave. And you say, I ain't going to let it be that way because God doesn't want it that way. But God does want it that way. You remember the day when you were so sassy, when you just about spit in daddy's face when he begged you to stay. And you with your little doped up hippie life or whatever it is, some of you ain't hardly worth picking up in the street as to measure you according to manhood. The way you do running around with women and some women with men the same way and letting the little children go and just a dope addict all the time and drinking. They used to say she ain't fit to pick up in the big street. That's what they used to say, you know. One street, town's about all they had, the big street. But anyway, there was a time when mommy walked off and left daddy and mother and done what she wanted to. And daughter's going to do it. God made her to do it. And there's a time when son walked off and left daddy in spite of all of what daddy said. And one day son's going to do it. And there ain't no need of you spewing over like a Roman candle. They're going to do it anyway. And they got a right to do it. They should do it. That's the only way to do. God commanded them to do it. That's what they're for. And if you think that you're going to keep them from looking at a boy or the boy from looking at a girl, you might as well stick a gun to your head and just get yourself out of misery. Somebody around here, I had Bethlehemites, they boasted and said, bless God, you ain't going to be with them pipe folks. Bless God, I've got them. Bless God, all of a sudden, the whole thing blowed apart like TNT. And all of theirs went to the bad. I had another case over in Mississippi, that's right. Olive Branch, Mississippi, the same way. He had them girls, a whole slew of them, pinned down like he had a cork and a stopper. And all of a sudden, that thing popped off, and they went everywhere. And he ain't never got them back together no more. I mean, he was daddy that said it has to be done, and it was done. But that was the end of that. So don't think you're big and bad, and don't think that mama can shout and scream and curse and keep them little kids trembling, you know, like a leaf in a windstorm all the time, because it ain't going to work like that. It ain't going to work like that. It's going to come a time when they're going to leave home. Somebody said, well, I kept mine. Well, there's a good possibility that you kept good common sense is the reason you kept them. And another thing is, it could have been that they had more sense than you did and they just had mercy on you and stayed. But it's for sure when they get ready to leave, they'll leave. You don't know. Oh, yes, I happen to know. Praise God, I know. It's one of them things I can stand and tell you about. I know. Like I told that man, I said, I know something about the Bible. I've read it. I've done had some experience. I know. But there's one thing that I say that you can do, and that's be a Christian, be godly, be holy, be clean, be upright. And in doing that, there'll be a lighthouse that no matter where they go or how far out to sea they get, sometimes they're going to make that round and get close enough to see it. And when they see it, they're going to get homesick. And especially if they're having problems about to crash up on the rocks, like the song said, let's start looking. You know, I've had my children a lot of times come and they'd say, if it wasn't for that, Dad, I'd have wrecked. I'd have wrecked. Danny was spewing the other day. He was all upset and him and his mama was having their little love conference. And Danny, he gets so upset and he don't know what to do because he's a good boy, but He got upset that he's on, out of his own. You know, all my children are. And we raised eight, thank God. He spared them. He was merciful. It wasn't because of anything I'd done. And if he spares them any longer, it'll be because of his mercy, because it's showing what they're doing. That'll cause it. So I was having a talk, and I finally got aggravated with Danny, because sometimes he gets a little strong with his mother. And sometimes she gets a little strong with him. And she has to. But I went in there and I spoke pretty strong to Danny. I told him what God was going to do for him. He gets afraid when I say something about what God's going to do. He just melts like a candle. And he finally come over and put his arms around me and said, Daddy, I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to say that. Okay, I said, you better do better. I'm for you. And I'm just saying this, young ladies, before you go running off from home, you pray. And you stop and think, and you do this. I might not agree with your daddy, I might not agree with your mother, but I agree with the Bible. And the Bible said children honor thy parents. And you do this, you remember that that's your parents. And to honor your parents brings long life. And you respect them. I'm not telling a man to get under the bondage of his mother-in-law. He's crazy to do that. And it's the same with a woman to get under the bondage of the dad-in-law, as we say. Or the mother-in-law on the other side. She's crazy to do that. You leave mother. You leave daddy when you get a companion. You leave them. The Bible said you forsake them. Leave them. Get away from them. And you cleave to your wife. Or you cleave to your husband. And you work out your problems. You go where you feel you ought to go. That is, y'all work it out. And if daddy and mother wants to sit in and give you some good advice, to tell you some things that might help you miss some rough places that they hit, then sit down and talk with them. As long as they don't say, look, you're going to do this and you're going to do that, and you're married now, say, you've got to do what your husband says to do. And if mama sits down and says, bless God, you better do this, I'll tell you what, you don't need that either. You know, if they sit down and say, look, I can tell you some things that's going to be rough for you, I'm telling you. You know, I can't do nothing about it, you're grown folks now, but if you listen at me, I can save you a lot of problems. I can save you a lot of heartaches. You know, I've been down that trail before. But you listen to me. Don't go running off. Because you might say, well, bless God, I'm 18, I'm 19. Let me tell you, you've been among sheaves. You've never been among the wolves. It wouldn't make no difference if you was 45. They'll ravish a woman that's 45 as quick as they will one 15. That's right. And they'll harness a boy, a man, whether he's 65 or whether he's 25. They'll harness him and subject him to drink and the filth. And the first news you know, he ain't fit for nothing. Just like some of you boys and girls that's engaged to get married. Why are you engaged to get married? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, it's good common sense. You meet a girl and you're going to get married. Well, that's fine for engagement. But if you've already done everything that married folks do, what's engagement about? I think you're a reproach to mankind and each other. You get down with the dogs. You do everything. You do worse than a married couple. You know, at least the Bible said the bed of the marriage is undefiled and all. That's an ordination of God. But you get right down in the filth and in the mire. What are you talking about engaged? Why don't you get a little sense and go somewhere and get somebody to say something so you can say, I do, and at least be a decent person and get in church. Somebody said, but we're waiting to June. We're going to have a June wedding. You know, I don't mean it mocking, folks. I don't mean it mocking. God forgive me if it sounds like it, but a June bug's got more sense than that. All right, so I'm talking to you as one that loves you. And I'm trying to help you to understand, before you do them things, you think about daddy. You think about daddy, and you think about mama. And you think about God, and you think about your life, and what they have kept you from all these years. Think where you would have been. You'd have been in a double marriage, a triple marriage, if your life had been ravaged. You'd been gone. You'd been a drunkard, been an old hag or whatever, or some kind of a bar fly. And they kept you from it. They didn't have to do that. Somebody said, well, I'm their child, you know. And they had, no, they didn't have to do that. I know mothers and daddies that have went out and they've become the bar fly. And they didn't care about daughter or anybody else. And they're out there and they're wrecked and they're so pitiful. I've talked to them. They're so pitiful, so pitiful. Like the man I picked up in Arizona out of the streets. and went to get him a place of covered, and one man stepped up and said, throw him in the garbage. I said, what do you mean throw him in the garbage? He said, he's no good. Throw him in the garbage. And I looked at him and I thought, you look to me like you've had, they used to call it, what, three sheets in the wind or something? And you look to me like you're good for the garbage. I really think that somebody with that attitude, that unless God can get a hold of them, I think they're garbage. According to the revelation of the Lord Jesus, it clearly shows them to be garbage. The man I had might not have been garbage. You know? Had a little thing across his shirt. I think they got it in one of our books. It says, The Grateful Dead. And someone said, what do you mean by that? Well, the Bible does say they're dead in trespasses and sin while they live. So I guess he was, you know, with the crowd. All right, I'm not going to say any more. I can tell that some of you'd like to leave. Some people say, well, I'm getting older, Brother Top. I'm trying to listen. I'm tired. Well, praise God. Let's renew our youth and get a little younger. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. My land. Why do you want to sit down and die? You act like you ain't got a lick of strength. The Bible says your strength shall be as your day. It must be that your day's running out. Let's give the Lord another hand. We'll have to replace you or do something. All right. Somebody say hallelujah. I'm not mocking. I'm just talking to you like folks. That's all. Somebody said just a think that he did like that. But they didn't see you around the corner when you was like this and you was carrying on all your foolishness, you know. They didn't see you acting like a 2-year-old child. I'm not acting like a child. I'm like Elijah when he said, perhaps your God is asleep. Maybe he's on a far journey. Maybe he's doing something, you know, outside of what he should be doing to take care of you. So I'm just telling you it as it is. You are not special. I'm not special, and no one is special, and we don't have any special right to think any special way of ourselves. We're just like, as Brother Branham said one time, we're just like pebbles on the beach. That's all. You know, six of one and half a dozen of another. You measure me, and you'll get Frank. You measure Frank and get me. Measure both of us, and you'll get, Brother Randall, measure him, and you'll get the brother sitting back of him, measure him, you'll get Pete. When you get through, all you got is a bunch of peas in the pot, as we say. Every one of them just alike in the sight of God. If you got a long nose or a short nose, you got long hair or short hair, or if you got a shiny spot on the top like me, it doesn't make any difference. You're still one in the same. Someone would say, well, what is that? The Bible said all have gone astray. All have turned to their own way. All have done their own thing. All have looked to their own quarter for their own gain. And God has laid upon Jesus, him, the iniquity of us all. And he was the one that was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, by whose stripes were healed. All right, I just took this morning to talk to you because I see some children fixing to leave home. Even after all that Brother Pike said, they're still going to leave home. Seeing this, I know the sorrow, and I know the heartaches. We're already in what the Bible calls the beginning of sorrows. And I know the sorrow when you're at home and you can't find that little girl, and she's 18, she's 19, she's 20. And she's a big girl, and she knows what she's doing, and you can't find her. And you're sitting there torn all to pieces. And over yonder, she's hemmed up somewhere, and somebody's trying to ravish her. No, for sure. Known of cases where it was that way. You'll learn one thing. You think you know how to live for the Lord now, you'll learn how to live for the Lord then. When they get away and you get the telephone calls or somebody comes a running, you'll learn what living for the Lord is then. I'll guarantee you. As a matter of fact, a man sitting right here in front of me told me the other day something happened. Just got him all tore up. He said he finally just said, I just told God I couldn't handle it. I just have to let you handle it. Just told me that the other day. You'll learn what living for the Lord is because you'll spend some time on your knees then. You'll go to prayer at night. And you won't have any problem getting up when you can't find that little lady. And you know she's having problems. And you know some wolf has drug her off to the holes of the world. You'll pray. All right, can we read a little verse here? A lot of things are out of hand, and a lot of things are fixing to get out of hand. And I tell my wife a lot of times things confidentially that I don't even get to tell the brethren. But there are going to be some bad problems. And I'm going to tell you why. It's because some of you got so far out on money and business, visiting relatives, going back into Egypt, doing the things of the world, wanting to go your own way, trusting in grace, and what I mean disgrace, until you're too far out. You're too far out now for me to reach you, to keep you from, too far out to reach you to keep you from the wrath of God. I'm not going to say too far out for you to get back to God, because I feel like some of you will make it back in, but too far out to escape the chastisement. You've thought things and done things and planned things and had things undermined and done it according to the flesh, knowing that Satan savors the things that be of the flesh and that you will deny self. You've did it in the face of the word and hearing continually the word of the Lord, and God giving you prosperity all the time so that you could do something for God, and you just padded the belly and went on and done the things of the world continually. You know, just continually you went on. And now the thing's on the decline. On the decline, just like we said it would be. And now you can have all the time you want for your family and all the time that you want to the gullible desire of the world, whereas you don't have nothing to buy with. But anyway, you've got plenty of time now. And like the Lord said one time, he said, "You harlot." He said, "I give to you to try to make a lady out of you, as when you would be a lady." He said, "And I gave you gold, and I gave you silver, and I gave you pretty clothes, and I gave you all kind of things." He said, "And all the time you played the harlot, and you run after somebody else, and your mind was after something else." He said, "Now, I ain't going to give you that no more." He said, "Now you go after your boyfriend and see if he'll give you all the things I gave you." That's what he told her in the Bible. He said, "Now you go do it. I'm going to give you a writing of divorce, but you go after your boyfriend." Now, he said to the woman. So that's what he's saying to you. You wanted to go the other way. He gave you all these things so you could have everything that you wanted and still plenty to share with God. But you couldn't do that. You had to have it your way, and you couldn't get away from what you called your own blood. I say again, my own blood is his blood, and I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And as he said, "Who is my family as to my mother, my brothers, my sisters, these that do the will of my Father, which is in heaven." So that's my blood, and that's the way I feel about it. Forsaken all, as Ruth did when she left the land of a kindred to go after God. So you suit yourself. I'm just your pastor. I'm just trying to tell you that I see these things come. All right, we're going to read here in Mark, the 12th chapter, the 29th verse. "And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandments greater than these." All right. So, talking to you as a father to children, I want you to try to absorb what I said. And let's stand together. I'll see you when I get back, the good Lord willing. And the good Lord will, we'll come back and be talking to you some more about the wonderful things of God. A lot of things I'd like to say concerning evolution and concerning the astrologers as to their probe. Thank you, little man. But I want you to think, you that'll be going, and you will, time will come. Others have. I tried to do the right thing to help you. When you are where you're going to be, the Bible said Judas went to his place, and you got a place. You got to go to it. You might start in one state and wind up in another. Start in one thing and wind up in another. But down the road, it might be 10 years from now, you're going to find your place. Now, I trust it's a holy place, a godly place, a pure place. But still, it's up to you. You know, you're going to find your place. The devil will work you around to it. It might take a little dope today and a little drink tomorrow and a car wreck the next day, or going to visit with mommy and daddy, you know, today, or going to visit with sister and brother the next day, or whatever it is. He's got his program. He knows how to entice you to lead you away from God. My advice is to forsake all and follow him. The man said, well, I will after I bury my father. He said, no, we don't have time for nothing like that. I just said that because some of you think, well, bless God, I need to go such and such. You don't need to go nowhere except to heaven, and you're not going to heaven. You're going to hell if you keep looking back into Egypt. And I'm telling you like it is. I'm telling you because it's just exactly that severe. So when you get to where you're going, if you have sons and daughters, and some of you do, and if you don't, you'll still get into this problem anyway. But you're going to have people to visit your house that Brother Pike hasn't indoctrinated. And they're not going to have any breaks at all when it comes to ravishing your daughter or poisoning their mind or flattering you enough. The Bible said, who can stand before flattery? There's some that's got a tongue that you can't get around to save your life. And they'll flatter you just enough to get control of that daughter. And then the next news you know, her life is wrecked. And they'll plague you like a plague. They'll come from everywhere, like locusts, once they see. Because when devils and demons see women at large, all they know is the abased side of life. And sad to say, a lot of people in the churches, even preachers, are like that. But when they see them, they'll come like a plague of flies. And then the ones that enticed you and told you what you need to do, in that little Bethlehem may blow up like a balloon overnight, and for sure someday the pastor's going to die, not in consideration of the fact that the lying tongue and the deceptive one's going to die too, and may die young. But nevertheless, you don't know how long one's going to live. Could be 40, could be 50, could be 60. My brother went out at about 56. Brother Ranham went out about 56. I know some others that went out about the same time. See? Some live longer. Some live 60, 70, 80. My wife's mother's way over 80, still going strong. Brother Thomas way over 80, still going strong. Brother Armstrong was 90-something when he died. About 96, I believe. So you don't know. You just die. That's it. You do know you're going to die unless the Lord undertakes. That's for sure. So the little lying tongues that deceive, and since you are gullible as to having your way and finding fault anyway, and you've already lost your vision, have no desire to do anything, the lying devil leads you off. And then see what the lying devil can do for you when the crisis comes. When the sheep stray from the shepherd and the wolf comes, see how strong the lying devil is that deceived you. See how much he stands with you. And you'll find out the hard way that he that leaneth upon the arm of flesh and goeth down into Egypt has to look to the world for his income, as we said. He's leaning on a broken staff and he's abhorred of the Lord. And no matter who your hero and champion is, you'll find out when the wolf comes, he'll leave. Because the Bible said the hireling will flee and the scriptures can't be broken. You'll be left there with the heartache, somebody said, overnight? No. For the rest of your life. And that's the sad part is, after that you're dead and they throw the dirt in your face, and your time will come, it'll get around, maybe you're not going to live as long as you think you are. Somebody says, I'm 40, I got another 20 or 30 to get. You might not have another 10 days. Your time might be different altogether. But the thing is, in the event that you do survive a little while, one day they will throw dirt in your face, should Jesus tarry, and if they do, the sad part is the children have got to go on and face it for the rest of their life without you. And they've got to face the horrible scars of life that you put upon them because of your devilish, rebellious self-will and your gullible desire for the things of the world. And many a person is a mother and daddy not fit to be called a human being has wrecked that little darling daughter and that little darling son. And they're nothing but something to wander to and fro through life as a drunkard or brokenhearted or torn up and just torn all to pieces and will never be straight anymore because their life is ravaged. Sister Eileen just told me about a boy, her son-in-law, and I'm not going to try to keep you long. These things are just coming to my mind that I should say them. A lot of things come to my mind, but I feel I should say these things. And she was tore up, even with tears, and you know what has happened as to her home being wrecked. And I don't say this sacrilegious to have something on tape or whatever. It's public. Everybody knows it. So what? Like the brother, her husband, went away, went down supposedly to another camp that some of you have been there and come from to hear. Went down there, went out of the will of the Lord. Somebody says, oh, I believe it was in the will of the Lord. If it was in the will of the Lord, why did they get in the condition that they were in? Why did the things happen to them like it did? Why did their family go all to pieces? I mean their family scattered to the four winds. And why did the man eventually do as I'm about to relate to you as the report that came to me yesterday? And that is just joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Has been a Pentecostal preacher. Joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Told his daughter, said, I always knew they were right. Somebody said, well, maybe it's not as bad as you think, Brother Pike. Well, something else he had to it, got him to rebaptize it. Denied the name of Jesus as the baptism. You know what it is? It's just like I told you about him when he was here. He wasn't right with God. That thing would come to pass. Died out completely to God's things. Turned over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned. But he thought he was brilliant. He thought he was up front. He had been one of the best churches. If anybody had the answer, he did. Wasn't no need to tell him. He made a statement, said, I don't care what George Pike said. Well, if he doesn't, now he's got whatever he wants to do. That's what you're going to do, you know. Everybody don't have to listen to him. No, everybody don't have to listen to George Pike. But everybody has to listen to Jesus. He said, what I say to one, I say to all. And he says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever faileth to hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. Ain't no half a dozen preachers. That's just one. So I'm just here to tell you about the chief shepherd and his way of life. And that when you stray, the wolves is going to come at you. But anyway, Eileen was telling me about the son-in-law. And you heard about it a few months ago, how he killed himself. Young man, married, Avis. Here he gets in a car, turns the gas on, and it kills him. I think he even videoed the thing. But Sister Ellen was telling us that just they come out of church from somewhere and said she tried to talk to him, and he said he called her mom, said he said, Mom, it's too late. Says too late, no need to talk to me now. Said he was so reverent, so nice, he's such a fine person. Had been fasting, had been praying. This might help some of you to believe what I told you earlier. I think he just come off of a fast. But he said it's too late, so there's no need to. She said she didn't know what in the world he was talking about. Said he wrote his wife a letter and said, I don't know how to tell you this, said, I don't know how to start to explain this to you as to where you can understand. And he went on telling her he loved her, you know, she was dear to him. All these kind of things. The next thing that they knew, he was dead. He'd committed suicide. The background of his family was a wretched family. I believe this was part of his problem. Wretched. Drunkards, all kind of things. And I believe that he felt he could never rise above that, in spite of all that he did in his efforts, that he felt he could never rise above it. And so then he ups and he kills himself. I'm saying that to say that you mothers and daddies can leave scars on people's hearts and minds as youth that they don't never recover from it. I mean they don't never recover from it. Let me tell you something. You might forget about it when you run up in their face like a baboon, grinning at them like an ape or something. And you might wash it on down the drain and say, well, I'm mommy, I'm daddy. They'll forget about that. And you might think, when they reach out and pop you upside the head, or that is, when you pop them upside the head, that they're going to forget about it. But I remember when my mama popped me like that. And I don't see nothing wrong with it to the extent a bear will pop a cub if it gets out of order. And sometimes you need popping by mommy and daddy. You need beating. The Bible said beat the child and you won't kill him. You'll save his soul from hell. Child left himself will bring shame. But I still remember the day that my mama popped me. See, because I wasn't a little boy. And I had one of the finest mothers in the world and one of the finest dads. But my mama just got beside herself. And to raise a boy like me, how that she could have lived any other way. But if I had gotten beside herself, I'd have never understood. But nevertheless, I still have my feelings about it. And she popped me. She hauled off and popped me because I'm standing there and I didn't do like she wanted me to do. And I didn't think I deserved it. Whatever it was, I was a big boy. And I never forgot it till today. It's as fresh in my mind today as it was when she done it. I've never forgot it. So I've tried to refrain from that. I might have slapped mine. I don't know. I tried not to. My hand sometimes will come up before you realize it. You know? It actually will. It actually will. Someone said, well, it ain't going to come up till you bring it. No, it'll come up and you don't know nothing about it. And it'll be coming up. I didn't caught mine doing it. Caught it just in time. And I thought, my God, I didn't even know I was doing that. You know, because of the things I was confronted with. That's the human nature. But anyway, when you do these things, you're in trouble. I've said this before. I've tried never to hit my wife. I guess a lot of times she'd tell me she'd rather I'd hit her because of the things I said to her. And sometimes the things you say can be a lot worse. And I've said things that I don't know why she lived with me. But anyway, it was her job to live with me. You know, you got a job, you got a husband. So she couldn't accept me as a husband. She accepted his job and went on. So for Christ's sake, we got things to do. And we got a job as mother and dad to raise those children. Whether they love us or not, or whether we love them or not, it's our duty. Brought them into the world, we got to raise them. But I've never hit her. I got no respect for a man that does hit his wife. I've said this, I still say it. Some of you don't like it because you've whopped yours around, you know. And said, well, if you'd had mine. No, they ain't got nothing to do with it. The Bible said God has fashioned all men's hearts alike. All of them react alike. Somebody said, well, yours ain't never reacted like mine. No, you just got your side of the story, that's all. Nevertheless, a woman is a woman and a man is a man. I've reacted like a man all my life. And the reason is because I'm a man. And my wife has reacted like a woman all her life, and the reason is because she's a woman. And that has nothing to do with Christ and Christianity. And we're trying to get away from being a man and woman and trying to get to be children of God, do the way a child of God should be. So well, what should he do? Be perfect. All right, somebody said, well, I got to go. Ease on that, if you will, because I said I was going to close. You got a right to leave. But I want to talk to the rest of them in just a few minutes because the Lord didn't let me close you. I said, well, I need to hurry on. I've got to get to the rest since you might not make it. This might be the last sermon you'll ever hear. As a matter of fact, you might not make it to the rest to get that meal. It might be. Someone said, take a rain check on that. You might never get back to it. So I said before you that in a hurry to get from the presence of the Lord may take 10 years of your life as it was a Hezekiah. Stayed around a little bit, it gave me 15 years longer to live. Some are in the grave because they didn't have the time. Some are still around at a great age because they took the time. The Bible said take time to be holy. You'll never have it as to your gullible desire, your mind, your thoughts. Your thoughts will always be on that baby or that husband or that wife or them passions or eating or drinking or my car, my home, my land, or what I want to do, where I want to go, how long is he going to take, or when are we going to get out of here? What is he doing? You know, it'll be like that over and over and over. I said a little excited when I'm talking, don't hold it against me. So, you're going to leave. You're going to go. So he's going to go. And that's fine. Some of you are going to do what you want to do, whether slap the wife, slap the children, whatever. You're going to do it anyway. It don't matter what I say. You're going to do it anyway. Someone will say, well, don't you think I ought to get a hold of her if she tries to cut my throat? A better way is to get away from her. That's the best thing to do. If she's got a butcher knife, it's better to leave her. Somebody says, well, I can't stand to leave my wife. I don't have no problem. If mine got a hold of a butcher knife, I could just walk out the door and not think nothing about it. And besides that, if you grab it, she may ram it into you. Like Sister Minnie, when she rammed it into Brother Delmer Bowen, she got him with the ice pick, I believe it was. Whatever, and he was trying to get out. He was on his way out, I think, when she got him. But there's wives that can hurt you. That little old, helpless, harmless wife can hurt you. And there's some little boys and girls that can blow your brains out and think nothing about it. I read it in the paper from time to time every day. They kill daddy and they kill mother. Think nothing about it. They've been asked at the trial, "Are you sorry?" They said, "Sorry." So I hate them. So you're not building love a lot of times when you're doing those things. You're not building love. But I'll tell you what, if you'll be reasonable and you'll talk with them reasonable and you'll try to love them reasonably, try to lead them reasonably, try to reason with them as the right kind of person, you'll win them and you'll win their respect. Someone would say, "Well, that's what I do. I just let mine do like she wants to. You know, if she's a dog, she's a dog. I hug and kiss her and tell her I know she's a prodigal." That's because both of you are in the same mire. Both of you are lapping the same vomit. If he was a daddy, you'd reprove it to a face or him to his face. Or if you was a mother, you'd quit palling around. Your lot, her reason anyway for doing her dirty, low-down things is because you didn't stand like a woman and reprove her. Or you said a few sharp things to her and went over and put your arms around and said, you cry a few tears, you know, like Esau did. He said, "Well, I didn't really mean it." You need to tell them, you need to say, "You harlot, anybody will stoop as low as you stooped ain't good as a dog." You need to stand and tell them. And then if they repent and straighten out, you need to put your arms around them and say, "Look, I know that was a spirit. You proved that wasn't my daughter." But if they go do the same thing, say, "You devil, get out of my presence. Jesus said, 'Satan, get thee behind me.' So I've chosen 12. One of you is a devil." All right, let's tell it like it is. Let's do it the way it's supposed to be done. We'll have a clean church. We'll have a clean home. We won't have to read some silly book about raising our children. The Bible will be sufficient. And you won't read some silly book as to program your mind to where the devil can use that program to lead your children right on off into the things of the world by telling you everybody's got to do a little evil. Everybody's got a taste of a little wrong. Everybody has got to be a little bad. Somebody said, my children are so good, I guess that's what it is. No, it isn't that. Your children aren't good at all. There's none good but God. If you'll just pull the door open and catch them at the right time, like these little girls a few days ago, Beth Lamites boasted, said, "The only difference is," said, "these people over here do theirs outside." Said, "We keep ours undercover." Said, "Daddy, he thinks he's got us, but he don't know what we really are." Let's give the Lord a hand. How about Bethlehemites? Somebody said, "Well, not my children, Brother Pike. It could be your children. It might be your children I'm talking about. It's for sure I'm talking about somebody's children." All right, let's sing together. Strange how the preacher finds out things that the daddy and mother don't know. Not only that, but as I was telling a brother over to my left yesterday, sitting up here, I was sitting there talking, and all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me. And I turned to him and I said, "You know, I just saw the Lord talking with you. I saw you talking back to him." I said, I heard it. I saw this, you know, as into the spiritual world. I said, "And you know what I saw you doing?" I said, "I saw you like this. I can. I will." And he started doing like this. And then he told me. He said, "It's true." I said, "That's exactly right. That's true." And then as he began to talk and pray with us, tears came into his eyes. Because Satan, the devil's been trying to give him a hard way to go. Satan's been trying to give him a hard way to go. So sometimes a preacher knows it by discernment. Sometimes it's revelated to him one way or another. One thing or another may happen. But there's one thing about it. Unless God hides it from him, he does know it. When I stand here and look at you and you look at me, and I see you standing out there, unless the Lord hides it, I know what's in your heart. And I know what you're thinking and I know your plans and I know your program. Like I told that brother when he was so shocked. I said, "The bad thing is you're not planning to make any changes." And I trust that he will. And he did come back. He said, "You scared me half to death." I said, "I was afraid to drive home." The other one hasn't shown up. You know why? There was two that went out of the ark. Just saying a little present day revelation. Don't have time to tell you about it because you don't have time to stay. But two birds went out of the ark. One was a raven and one was a dove. Both of them had been in the ark. Grace is on the whole world the blood atonement for the whole world. Jesus took away the sins of the whole world. All of them had a chance to hear the gospel. But after the raven had stayed, he went out and he found something that fit his appetite. And that was rottenness, corruption. He landed on the floating bodies apparently, and he had himself a feast. But when the dove went out, couldn't find no place. And the dove returned. The dove returned back to the ark because it knew that that was right. It went out because it was sent out. That's why it went out. Someone would say, well, wasn't the raven sent out? He was turned loose so it could go out. There's a difference between being sent out and being turned loose so you can go out. It's a true fact that God turns you loose so you can go out. That dove couldn't find any place, came back. And it was a time or two that it went out before it found the waters gone from off of the earth. And then it eventually found a light landing place, lit on a tree or something. Went out and it stayed there. Stayed there because it had found a new world and new food, a new harvest. Let's sing together. Let's sing the song we sing so often, I love him. I love him. I love him. Can you sing it with me? I You know, a lot of you're leaving from time to time, but you left a long time ago in your mind. You haven't been a part of this for a long time. You haven't been a part of, as it was said when one of the writers there in the New Testament turned and looked at somebody and said, you're in the gall of bitterness, the bonds of iniquity, your heart's not right with God, you need to repent of your sins and pray that God will forgive you for the thoughts of your heart. So, you haven't been here. Your mind's been in the Carolinas, been in Tennessee, been in Texas, been in Mississippi, been somewhere outside of here. And your thoughts and desires has been already, the Bible said, he that looketh back into Egypt, that is to his kindred, he's not fit for the kingdom of heaven. That is to be fit, you have to be born again, you have to be clean and right. He's not clean and right. It's showing up. See, it's showing up when he starts looking back. Any man having put his hand to the plow, looking back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. So, you've always done that. You've always looked back into the old way of life. You never left it. You've always laid a little on the side so you could have convenience and comforts. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion, so that you could have some of the things of the world. You've always spared a little bit as to self-denial so that you could look at your face and admire your face and pattern paint a little bit, or think about how handsome you was and how you'd sweep the girls off of their feet with your old corruptible way. That would take both of you into the flames of hell. Your body, your face, all these things as to money and prestige and desire and your reasoning, as to you being a little better than somebody else, a little smarter than somebody else, or you've got it figured out and the others just haven't come to it quite like you have. You know, and after a while you'll be out there and somebody will say, you left. Yeah, I left. And said, I left a long time ago. I know someday you'd see that. I'm glad to see you have them out there. And he might not say you can have a dip of my snuff, but anyway, he'll say you can be my buddy. So, whether it's going back to sucking on a weed or dipping out of a box, you know, the person that did that wanted to be president of the United States. That's what they're looking forward to. And wanted to be among the celebrities and wanted to have prestige. Didn't want to mix and mingle it with Bethlehem. Wanted prestige on a higher plane. And God took him out there and made a fool out of him. Subjected him, it sounds like, to a box of snuff. And you can imagine how far he'll excel out there. God does that to you folks that think too highly of yourself. When you get out there, he'll subject you to something that you wouldn't be the value of a pig in the sight of the people. We don't need nobody to esteem this, brothers and sisters. This is the greatest thing that's ever been given. It's the all-time great. It's the greatest of all greats. It's holy, it's clean, it's pure, it's just, it's right. And the others are pigs and dogs that's wallowing in the mind, lapping the vomit. Somebody said, you ain't got a right to say that. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. He'll say what they told him to say. That's what he said about it. I'm just repeating it to you. You're holy people and godly people and pure people and upright people. And don't you ever get any thoughts as that you're not. You are. All right. Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes. We're going to pray together. We'll pray for the brother here at the sacred desk. And we're going to pray together. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, Lord, we preach the gospel. Lord, without respect to person, we've not shunned to declare the full counsel of the word of God to these people, upon whom the ends of the world have come. And dear God, though I'm willing to conference with them and talk with them and reason with them, Lord, there's no reason for them to be saying the same things over us to justify their flesh and their wrong and accuse someone, or to always be trying to tell me of their repentance when they need to tell you, and Lord, to tell me of their wrongs when they need to tell you. There's no need, Father, for them to lay the foundation of repentance over and over. They need to get away from their evils. Take the things that we've said, incorporate these in their lives, and go on unto perfection. Lord, knowing that you perfected the inner man as to the spiritual being to where Satan can never touch him. Lord, this perfection must of necessity show within our body that we can be presented body, soul, and spirit blameless, to be holy in body as well as spirit. To go on to perfection is to perfect this body in the fear of God and in holiness. That as the writer said, we might serve thee in holiness and in righteousness all the days of our life. In that without holiness no man shall see the Lord. And thou art the spirit of holiness. Dear Father, may we be able to do something on this trip, on this journey. May we be able to indoctrinate people and to persuade them, as Paul said, Lord, to your righteousness, and to program their minds, Lord, in the simplicity of salvation and the expectation is from God to them that they should walk right, live right, and talk right. Lord, be with us. Be with my people here. Lord, be with them. Lord, as we worship together for just a few minutes, remember them. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
You want to sing a course or two together before God? Mm-hmm. Down at the cross where we first saw the light, the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. For at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there, my friend, I received my sight. I am happy all the day. For at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross. Oh, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today. And come in Tuesday, come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. Can you sing this with me now? All I've anchored my soul in God's haven doth rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild storm indeed, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. For though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Don't turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away. For he has come back to your heart once again. Oh, let him in to stay. Oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. So listen to Jesus and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. Love the Lord with all of your heart. You ever examine yourselves and ask the question, have I really given him all of my heart? You know, the Bible said the heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Do thy diligence to keep thine heart. For out of it comes forth the issues of life. The condition of your heart that determines your lifestyle, your life. Have you ever stopped to think that the heart is always desiring something? You ever notice? It's always desiring something. So then when you stop and you consider all of this, then you ask yourself the question, if my heart is always considering something, have I really given all my heart to God? To give all your desire to God. To give all of your desire to God. To make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the desire thereof. But to give all of your desire to God. Solomon said, when desire fails, give all of your desire to God. See, let it fail if it fails in the world, but not in Christ. And see if you've given all your heart to God. See if your heart desires anything else outside of praying, outside of fasting, outside of giving, outside of helping, outside of going to church, outside of winning souls, outside of doing the things that pertain to godliness and Christianity. And to love Him with all of your mind. See if you've brought every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ, that there's not one thought of your mind left except for Him. See. Check it. See if you have any other kind of thoughts at all, any kind of thoughts. The Bible said to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Have you brought every thought into subjection that you meditate day and night in His way and His laws? All of your strength. See if you've got another program on the side. And if you reserve your strength that you've got to get in bed at a certain time. You can't sit up and talk with the brethren. You got a business. You got to have strength to run your business. You got to have strength to make money. You got to have strength to make your trip to your kindreds. You got to have strength to do what you want to do, whether it's go fishing or go hunting or laughing and talking or joking or carousing around or just sitting around drinking coffee or just with your relatives, friends, whatever. See if all of your strength is dedicated to helping somebody, to testifying of Jesus, to trying to fast, pray, grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, to coming to church, to inspire somebody to lend a helping hand where a helping hand is needed. See if all of your strength is given altogether to Christ. Or see if your labor is for the belly, because the belly craves it of you, and that the Bible said all labor is for the mouth and the belly. See if, as the serpent, if you're on your belly and all of your labor is just to feed you and your family and their belly. Or buy things as convenient for the flesh or for the belly, because that's all the flesh amounts to is the belly. Solomon said, eat and drink is the best thing you can do. All of your strength, all of your mind, all of your heart, and see if the Lord has all of your soul. All of your soul. To love with your soul is an ultimatum of life. That's the ultimate. To love with all of your soul. Jesus loved with all of His soul. To love with all of your soul. See if you're like that. Now if you're not, then let me preach to you. And let me preach this to you. Let us go on to perfection. Leaving the foundation of repentance, let's go on to be perfect. You say, but Brother Pike, I'm a Christian. But you undoubtedly are falling short of the mark of perfection in Christianity, because if you're not, then why wouldn't you love Him with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength? If you're not doing that, obviously you're not in the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. You may think yourself to be big, but you may not be nothing but a toddling babe. When you measure yourself by Him, His desire, His command. But it says, I've been baptized in Jesus' name. I've been filled with the great Holy Ghost. That spells two things. That you was born into the world. That's what water has to do with. And that you do have a living spirit. That you do have a life. That you're not dead. Just a baby. That's all. And now it's time for him to lead and guide you into all of the truths of God. And these are the truths of God, I'm telling you. And all of the righteousness of God. And all the paths of God. That's what this is all about. For him to do that. So then, if you want to be perfect, Jesus said to the rich young ruler, he said, what must I do to enter into life? He said, keep the commandments. He said, this I've done from my youth up. He said, but if thou wouldst be perfect, go and sell all that you've got. Give to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me. That is conform to my way of life. Go where I go. Say what I say. Do what I do. And the Bible said the rich young ruler turned away sorrowfully. A lot of you have come as far as being baptized, but you turn away sorrowfully when it comes to giving up the flesh. Anybody can go down to a water hole. Many hundreds and millions of people do it. Anybody can profess Christianity. But when it comes to possessing something and really making your confession as two deeds, having a will and then a performance, a lot of people can't make that great. It takes the elect to do that. So, children of God, I love you. And you that are not children of God, that is to say, that you could be by predestination, if you'd come in and give him a chance, if you get rid of your self-will. But if you're not, even by predestination, then remember God's been good to you. The grace of God's been on you for a long time now. He's fixing to lift. Fixing to lift. You're the people upon whom the end of the world come. It's fixing to lift. But I want my children to be saved. I remember the vision, Brother Taylor, where I put my children up on the mantle. When the bear got ready to strike, and when the serpent struck at him, and the calamities were about to befall, I took my children just prior to that, one by one, and I had them up on this mantle to where the bear couldn't get to them, and the serpent couldn't get to them, and they were saved. And in the vision I saw is passing on over, when the fire and the judgment came, I found myself in Canaan, or I found myself in the millennium, and I found people standing there looking at me. They were in beautiful white robes. Love the Lord. I know I'll say this right here in close. Some folks say, well, bobs, you know, the women folks sometimes. I'll say, well, if you want us to dress in long dresses, why don't you dress in robes? Well, there's an answer. Somebody was telling me the other day, said you have to dress according to the modern day. Matter of fact, that's part of the dispute we had with what they call Jehovah's Witnesses. But, this is kind of off the theme of our thought, but I thought of dropping it on the way since it came to my mind. I don't see why it's so wrong for the women to lengthen their dresses. You know, of course, our women don't wear long dresses. But I see why that you have to compare that with a man wearing a robe. I'm only asking you to lengthen what you already wear. If my pants were short, I just lengthen my pants. Isn't that good enough? I'll compare it with a robe. I haven't told you to put on a robe. All right. Let's lift our hands together. Let's close our eyes. And let's just reminisce a little bit in the spiritual world and ask God to help us as we examine ourselves to see if our conviction is of the Word. And as I go away to try to preach to some other people, be back, the good Lord willing, then you remember me. You pray for me. See, what you should do is pray for me. You should pray for me. And I should pray for you. Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against God by not praying for the people. So I'll be praying for you all the time I'm going. I'm praying for you. As a matter of fact, while we were over in Philippines, I prayed for you. In Africa, I prayed for you. South America, Central America, around the world, wherever I've been, I prayed for you. My, I prayed for you in so many different places that you'd be famous around the world if I just went to the spots where I prayed for you. So we pray for you. You pray for me because I need your prayers. A minister always needs prayer. Always. Always. So whatever you do, love the Lord. I'm going to tell you again while you got your eyes closed. One of the sisters I spoke of this morning, it shocked you when I told you what kind of condition your life's in. Tore you up because you really thought it was hit. And now you know God hasn't cast you away, but because of your shrewdness and the way you've done, and especially in letting others be blamed for your wrongs, and letting your household go to pieces without trying to do something right, you'll have it to pay for. But you can get in and get your life straightened out and save yourself a lot of problems. Otherwise, you and your family's going to leave. I didn't see it coming. God's going to make you leave. This time, you're not going to get back. But what I understand, all of you have been corruptible. And this time, you're not going to get back. God's listened to you before. You know, people are always leaving. I have people that come here, their husbands get in prison or something happens to the family, and they'll come regular. And just as quick as that husband's out, they'll get a ring in his nose and they won't let him come to the house of God. Or vice versa. The woman, she'll leave. And the man, he'll come in. As soon as he gets the wife back, he's gone again. No desire except for the flesh. But their day's coming and God will get them. Down the road, they'll pay for it. The other little sister I spoke about, leaving home. Whatever you do, be wise and be careful in what the Lord puts in your heart. Try to consider all the things that your pastor's taught you down through the years. Before you make a decision, don't be hasty in spirit. The Bible said, they that are hasty in spirit, there's more hope for a fool than for them, because they'll move here today and yonder tomorrow. I got another program after a while, and they're going to curse, they're going to drink, and then they're going to be religious, they're going to be temperamental, and they're going to be just as sweet as honey. See, but just think it over and take and stop what I've said. See, you've got to remember, if you was going to take a test at school, you'd go and reminisce over all them studies in the books before you try to put down the answers. You wouldn't just run out there and guess at it. It's like David Paul now, he's going through a test. He's had a hard, hard test, so about 12 hours. Got about 12 more, maybe 24 more. I don't know how many more, but he's got a lot of them to pass his test as to a certain degree for flight. And asking me to pray for him. See, you think over these things, and little sister, before you make your decision, or any of you, before you make your decision as to do what you're going to do, think it over. Take all these things that you've been taught and put them together and say, God, what's right? Lord, help me. Help me. If you've got the right kind of mother and daddy, they'll have this feeling. They'll want you to do what's right. Whatever's right, they'll want you to do it. Even if it's leave home, they'll want you to do it. For they'll have the confidence that somehow God will take care of my daughter. Somehow. But you think it over. Be sure that it is right. Not something you're guessing at. Because it's going to break a heart either way you go. You know, no matter what happens, it breaks a heart even when a daughter and son leaves home. They've been there. Even if the mother and dad knows they're all right. And there's another little sister standing here. You listen at me real close now. Nobody knows this but me and you and God. But you're beginning to play the hypocrite. And you are torn to pieces. In your lifetime, you've not been straight like you should have been. You've let little foxes spoil your vine. But your devotion to God was enough that you were kept within range of God. As he considered you, you being young, and him seeing your life. And he loves you. And he knew that you love him. But now that things has changed, has been rearranged, you're not living for God anymore. And you're torn to pieces because you're caught in between and you don't know what to do. You know, the Bible said, if you have not a wife, seek not a wife. Likewise, a wife, seek not a husband. Said, for he that hath a husband or a wife, they seek to please the husband or the wife. But he without a husband or wife seeks to please God. And Jesus said, it soon be as though you had no husband or wife anyway. For in heaven they do marry and are given in marriage. Nor are given in marriage. They're all as the angels. So then, I'm not telling you not to marry. But I'm telling you that where God stops, you stop. I don't care who she is. I don't care how much you say you love her. You compromise to keep her. God will give her to another man anyway. And likewise, the wife, you're not under obligation to honor your husband in anything that's contrary to the Bible. Not in any place, at any time, in anything. Not anything. And don't you dare do it. You live for God. You say, well, I want his love. I want his affection. If you want it more than God, go and do it. It'd be straight across the table from me to him, or from her to him, ever how it would be. It'd be straight across the table. I'd say, my love is given to you on the basis of the Bible. I'll be like the apple of your eye. I'll love you. I'll wash your socks. I'll do anything I can to please you. I'll give you my whole life, my body, my mind, and everything on the basis of the Bible. But if you think you're going to drag me down to hell just because you're going to let a devil live there and let that devil rule my life, you got another thought coming. You're at the end of the trail. As of today, that ends it. That I am not joined to darkness. The Bible said a brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. And you tell him right straight or her right straight. You say, I'm not joined to darkness. God doesn't join darkness to light. And I'll go my way. And you go your way and you be a lady. You stay like that. And after a while, God will let him or her, whichever side it's on, let them stumble into the pit and you'll be free to go and do what you want to. You're free anyway. You're not joined to darkness. But you do that. Go your way if it's from an unbeliever. And just keep yourself. Just wait. The Lord will work it out for you. Don't be anxious. So then, sister, you think that over because you're killing your soul. You're so tore up, you don't know what to do. And these things will burn on your mind. You can make a mental case out of you a few years down the trail. Many a good girl's been caught in this, and many a good boy. But you love them. Love the Lord first like Abraham did. He loved the Lord, then he loved his son second. He was willing to give the life. Lay him on the altar for God. All right. While you're standing here, hands up, we are going to let you go. You've been a real good audience, real good audience. Go and ask David Burden to come up, if you will, and get David to pray with you. And while David's coming, think these things over. Remember, you're my children. And I'm concerned about you. I'm greatly concerned. You can't imagine how much I'm concerned. Day and night, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about my natural children, which some of them are my spiritual children too, and I hope all of them gets to be my spiritual children so they can be with me throughout eternity. That's going to be throughout eternity. You'll be in our neighborhood. You'll be within our places of abode. You'll be there. All these wonderful things will be there. You'll be there. The children will be there. Your real brothers and sisters, as Jesus said, my real mother and my brothers and sisters, they'll all be there. So you think this over now. And you try to do the very best you can. Honor your parents. Whatever you do, honor your parents. Wives, honor your husband. And husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. To present it to himself, a spotless, glorious thing. Whatever you do, while David comes to pray with you, remember these things. And folks, the last thing I want to say here is watch after my little bitty ones. When I go out like this to preach, I really worry about my little ones. The devils and demons in town and other places won't let us put bridges over like we need to. And those devils seek to kill our little ones, to destroy what we stand for, to cause people to get grieved and leave it. If he kills out the little ones, then people will turn against it and say, if God had been there, it wouldn't have been this way. When a lot of times it's all because of carelessness and people's lack of consecration to God. But watch after my little ones. Jesus said, if you love me, feed my lambs. I see my little bitty ones standing around with their little hands up. And they know about Jesus. And you watch after them. And watch after the spiritual children. Whatever you do, watch them little ones crossing the road. Stay with them. Mothers, don't turn them loose unless you know where they're at. And I'm asking you one thing. You may not do this, but I'm asking you to do it. I'm asking you to try to get to some of them that are letting their children walk up and down this road out here, getting off of the bus. Because someday, if God don't undertake it, I'm praying he always will. Cars coming over there, and it might be you coming over there the way some of you drive. Won't see that little child on the other side of the hill, and you'll be a murderer. So you try to get to some of those people. Get to Brother Jimmy Kirk and his wife. Get to Brother Stan Baker or Sheila. Or get to some of them, Sister Francis, Brother Gilbert. Or get to some of them that know even about little Josiah's going up and down there. And see if you can persuade some of them to do something about it. And I know they will because they're good folks. Some of them really love the Lord. But don't stand by and let the little one be run down and killed just because the world, he ain't mine, you know, it's bad. I hate that he got killed, but so what? Because any of these little ones here, it ain't so what with Brother Pike. One of these little ones got killed, it tear me to pieces. And I know that some of you are going out to fall into the hands of devils and demons, and you're going to get killed, spiritually speaking. I know it. There's nothing I can do about it. I pray for you all the time. I talk to you. I try to tell you. I can't do anything about it. But with this, as I said, I'm going to close. Watch after my little ones. And Brother David, he's going to pray with you. We'll see. We'll be back, the good Lord willing.